Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a blessing it is, and already has been just being in church on Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, on Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying on the life of Elijah, and one of the most powerful prophets that we have in the Scriptures, and what a tremendous blessing it's been to have been going through and teaching on what God has given to us concerning the life of one of His great prophets. Now, we find Him in the Old Testament. We find Him in the New Testament. I believe He's going to be there in the book of Revelation as well during the tribulation period. It's just unreal, just as we look at how God has used and will continue to use the life of Elijah. But as we're coming to the end of our series here on the life of Elijah, last week we're looking at the idea of God using His last hours, God using His last hours. And Elijah was simply following God's lead when God told him to go to Bethel. Now, as he went to Bethel, we know that Elisha, he had been mentoring Elisha now for a couple years. And there is the sons of the prophets. These are the three that would learn from the purpose that God would have in sending him to Bethel. And so the first stop would be at Bethel, the house of God. It would be represent where God met with Jacob. And if you go back and study that in Genesis chapter 28, you'll find that first of all, God commits to Jacob, the same Abrahamic covenant that he had made with Abraham. He now meets with Jacob, and Jacob then commits to God, and he commits to God that he would be his God, that he would honor the house of God, and that he would give a tithe to show God's ownership of his life. So it was an idea of going back to Bethel. Going back to Bethel meant something for Elijah. It would mean something for Elisha. And it would mean something to the sons of the prophets. And we looked at our own lives to find out how we need to go back to that time of commitment. Go back to when you got saved. And been many messages preached on back to Bethel. And so we find here that was the first place that he had him to go in his last hours of his life. The next one we'll find is going to be Jericho. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to be looking here at 2 Kings chapter 2 and reading verse 1 down to verse 5. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And then he said, verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And of course, we know that he was not going to make the decision for Elisha. Elisha would have to learn to continue to do what God told him to do. And we know that Elisha was to stay with Elijah. And so it was a test for him, we find here. And so he says, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. He sent them to Jericho. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Thank you for everything we've already been blessed by, just by being in your presence, being in the presence of our church family and friends, being exposed to the truths of your word through song, and then, Lord, being able to have this opportunity to open up the holy word of God and study what you have given to us and make applications based upon what you would have us to apply. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Jericho, verse 4. God had a purpose. God has a purpose for everything that He does. And if we are just but listening to the leading of the Spirit of God and we're doing what God would have us to do, you'll find that there's something that you are to gain from every place that God would lead you to go. And especially when we're looking at His prophet Elijah as he's mentoring Elisha and influencing the sons of the prophets. So that's what's taking place as we read this passage of Scripture right here. So he goes to Jericho, the place where Moses ended his ministry and where Joshua would begin his. The Promised Land, at the threshold of the Promised Land. It was a place of doubt and defeat, but it was also a place of faith and victory. In Numbers chapter 13, if you look back there with me, we have to understand why Jericho. Again, we understood why Bethel. God had a purpose for them going to Bethel. And now we see the purpose of what's there in Jericho. What would this be symbolic of? What would they be able to relate to in Jericho? In the book of Numbers in chapter 13. Verse 31. The Bible says, "But the men that went up with him said," now remember this is, and we just have gone through this in our Sunday morning Sunday school as we were highlighting the life of Moses. One of the things that he did, he sent the spies into the land of Canaan. And this is the report when they come back out. But the men, verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So we find that 40 years earlier, we find that Moses brought the nation of Israel up to the Promised Land with the instructions of go in to possess the land. Well, the spies came back, and 10 of the 12 spies gave this report. And then the people received the message of the 10 spies, and they started crying and would refuse to go into the Promised Land, and God sends them back into the wilderness for another 40 years. It was a place of doubt and defeat. But then after 40 years, Moses leads them back to the Promised Land. He would not be the one to lead them into the Promised Land, and God had him to turn things over to Joshua, and Joshua would lead them in, and it would be a place of faith and victory. So how the spies viewed the land, the Bible says there in Numbers chapter 13, was evil, for they viewed it in the flesh. They didn't view it with faith in God. They viewed it with what they were able to do. And by looking at themselves, and they seen themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of the people, the inhabitants, then their doubt overcame them, which led to defeat. The Bible says in Romans 8:8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So we find here that what they would have known at Jericho from Moses' leadership as he took the people there, the people had made a faithless decision. But then, 40 years later, when Joshua would take them in, if you look over the book of Joshua with me, Joshua chapter 6, now, this is what Jericho would have been known for. Everyone, I guarantee you, everyone there, especially Elijah and Elisha and the sons of the prophets, would know what Jericho was symbolic for, would understand the history of Jericho and why God would want them to go to Jericho after he had them go back to Bethel. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with their trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." Now they are back at there in the promised land, and they're knocking on the door of Jericho. This would be their first tremendous victory as they would enter into the promised land on this side of Jordan. And the Bible says, "And the people looked to God, because Joshua said, The Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." And if you go down, if you will, in verse 20, it says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat." "So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." And so now we're back in the city of Jericho, and they're thinking about what the people were able to do when the people lived by faith. They saw what happened when they made faithless decisions. They were defeated. But when they came back and they got out of the flesh and they looked to God and they looked to God for the victory that He wanted to give them, when they looked to God by faith, they would be victorious. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." If it is God's will, we can. If you know it to be God's will, no matter what the odds, no matter what the circumstances, you have to make the decision based on your faith. And God would always have you to do what He's called you to do, and we do it not looking to the flesh and not looking to our abilities, but we do it by having faith in what God is able to do. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So that's Jericho. They would go back to Jericho. I love what F.B. Meyers, a quote that he said concerning this. He said, "Faith does not ignore difficulties. It is quite aware of them, but it does not concentrate its gaze on them, but on the living God." In every life, there are Amalekites, or sins of the flesh, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, or besetting sin. None must dare suppose that we must always be overcome by them. But by trusting in God, we may confidently expect that they will be put under our feet. When such giants or difficulties make us think that we can never have victory over a certain thing in our life, then we are at the same crossroads as Israel. Our future could also be at stake at this point. I love that, because we find here that what Jericho meant to the nation of Israel with the faith that they had in God, when they went to take the city, God blew the walls, which would have represented the city's strength. God blew the walls over. Amen. And so it was not in their might, it was not in their strength, but it was in their faith in what God could do. So, go to Jericho. They're on their last hours. They all know that Elijah is going to be taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. They didn't understand all of it, but they knew that God had purpose for the last hours of Elijah's life. And the first place he went was Bethel. The second place he would go would be Jericho. Now, what would this mean to Elijah? Elijah needed this at the end of his ministry. What a fate, what a difference faith can make as we close out our lives here on this earth. Can I tell you, there's many difficult decisions are to be made as we come to the end of our ministries, as we come to the end of a certain task. We come to the end of our ministries, we come to an end of our task, how we need to continue to have faith. Elijah knew that God was going to take him up. He didn't know exactly the reason as far as how it was going to take place other than in a whirlwind. What he thought about that, who knows? But he knew that God was using him at the end of his life to turn his ministry responsibilities over to Elisha. And so he knew that whatever God would lead him to do, he would have to trust God and go to the places where God would tell him to go, because in that God would have a message for not only Elijah at the end of his ministry, he would have a message for Elisha who would be taking over the ministry, and he would also have a message for the sons of the prophets. That's what we have recorded to us in the scriptures concerning the last hours of Elijah's life. So Elijah was finishing his ministry. Acts chapter 20. Can I tell you that we need to be looking to finish strong? If you're there, you're in your senior years, you're in the final years of your ministry, whatever that might be, and who knows how long that might be. The last couple of visits I've had, and I've told people I've been here for 31 years, they look at me and said, "Are you about ready to retire?" And I said, "I don't know exactly what God's plan is for me, but I think I still have a few more good years in me, you know, but I don't know. But I do know that I need to be setting up for this church to go forward. And I do know that I have to start making some decisions, understanding where I'm at in my life." And the very same thing holds true with all of us when it comes to coming to the end of our ministries, coming to the end of whatever it might be that God has had us involved in. Very important that we finish strong. Very important that we stay focused on God's leading. Elijah, what would you be doing if you knew you had just hours to live? Elijah was focused on God and said, "God, where would you have me to go?" He said, "I want you to go here. I'm going." Elisha, "You don't even have to come if you don't want to. God's leading me. I'm going." Elisha said, "No, I'm following God too." We'll get into that in just a minute here. But Elijah was going to do exactly what God was leading him to do. And I believe that's exactly what I'm going to do, whatever it might be. I want to finish strong in whatever God has ahead for me. I want to finish strong. And finishing strong is just being aware of God's will and God's direction for my life. And I can finish strong. Jericho gives the message that if you have faith in God, if you stop looking at the flesh and look at your faith in God and what God is able to do and what you're able to do within God, with God's help, you can do whatever it is that God's called you to do. And if you're at the twilight years of your life, you can finish strong. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Paul, knowing he was coming to the end, they kept telling Paul, "You go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. There's going to be great persecution there if you go to Jerusalem, if you do this." And yet Paul, at the coming to the end of his life, knowing what was taking place, this is what Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." Now, was he had changed? No, he was led by the Spirit of God. He was under orders of the Spirit of God, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. That's what everybody tells me is going to happen. If I do this, you're going to be bound. If I do this, you're going to suffer afflictions. If you continue to preach what God has you to preach, you continue to go in the direction that God wants you to go, then you might have to go to prison. You might have to do this. You might have to do that. Paul said, this is what I hear. But verse 24, I love this. But none of these things move me. That's not what directs my path. That's not what I focus on. That's not what controls my thinking. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I love that. Paul was just saying that I am just yielded to the Spirit of God. I am ready and willing to do whatever God leads me to do, whether it's in my life or it's when in my dying, my death. I just want to finish my course that God has sent me on. Whatever God's will is for my life, that's what I want. I trust every one of us here. If you're coming to the end of your ministries, you're coming to the end of whatever it might be, you need to understand it's so vitally important. Don't give up. See, so many make foolish decisions at the end of their lives. I think of Solomon. What a powerful, powerful king of Israel. God blessed him. He was able to develop the most powerful army and the most powerful reign that all the world wanted to come to view and see how Solomon was able to have what he had in his wealth and in his wisdom. And it was all based on him following God. When he turned from following God, and he allowed a lot of things to start taking his time and his heart. A lot of women taking his time and taking his heart and going in a direction opposite God's will for his life to see his kingdom dissolve. Wow. If it could happen to Solomon, can I tell you it could happen to any one of us? And we had better be determined. I love it. It didn't happen to Paul. I love it because Paul tells us exactly, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's it. So that I might finish my course with joy. My joy is going to be found in doing the will of God. No matter what age, no matter what it is I'm doing, my joy as a born-again believer is going to be found in serving God. So Elijah needed this trip to Jericho to remind him of faith and victory instead of doubt and defeat. Amen. Then we have Elisha. We have Elisha. He would need this to begin his ministry. And Elijah knew that he was not going to be around, and so he could not make the decisions for Elisha. And so he was not encouraging him to follow his leadership. At this point, he knew he was getting ready to turn it over, and you had better prove yourself worthy of making the decisions that God wants you to make, or you will never accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. Praise the Lord for those influences. Praise the Lord for those who have impacted your life and possibly have mentored you. But at some point, you have to stand on your own two feet and make the decisions that God wants you to make. You cannot follow on your parents' foottails. You cannot follow on your pastor's coattails. You cannot follow anyone. You have to follow God. Yeah. So Elisha would need this to begin. Jesus would teach his disciples. Matthew 17, look over there with me. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. See, Jericho represent faith and victory. Jesus taught his disciples in chapter 17, verse 20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Is there anything impossible for God? And the answer is no. So if God calls you to do something, if you know it's what God would have you to do, then you have His power to get it done. And if God would call you to move a mountain, if you look in the flesh, you say, oh, I can't do that, and you could not. But if you look by to the faith that you have in what God is able to do, then you can say, as we find here, nothing is impossible. I can do whatever it is that God has me to do. And that it comes by way of faith. As you have faith, you can have victory. Jericho would have seemed to be invincible. And the very thing that would make them invincible would have been the walls. And the walls represented their strength. And God blew them over. We can't penetrate the walls. They've been up there, and so many other armies have come in, and they've tried, and they couldn't get it done. They didn't have your God. They didn't have marching orders from an almighty creator God. If you have marching orders from an almighty creator God, you need to have the faith in the beginning of your ministry just to rely upon God and do whatever it is God's told you to do. Because Jesus said, not only will He blow over the walls, He'll enable you to move mountains. If you have faith and not living in the flesh, you can have victory. That's good. Amen. Yes, that's very good. Praise the Lord for that. So Elijah would need at the end of his ministry. Elisha would need it at the beginning of his ministry. What about the sons of the prophets? These are the three that we focus on here. That's what the Bible focuses on, by what God, who God would use in Elijah's last hours to impact their lives. The sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets were there. They would go to Elisha and they would say, do you know? He said, yes, I know. I am very much in tune with God. I know that Elijah is in tune with God. And evidently, somehow, God has revealed it to you, so you must be in tune with God. And so God has a message for you in this. Just continue to follow. They were there in Bethel. Now they were there in Jericho. The sons of the prophets would need to view how both would handle it. They knew the transition was coming. How would Elijah finish his course? And how would Elisha begin it? You see, because the world's watching. You have more people looking at you than what you realize. If you're known to be a Christian, if you're known to have a position of serving God, if Satan gets to you, he can get to so many more. And it's a snowball effect. If it just impacts one person's life, then that person, whoever, whatever decision then they'll make based upon your decision, then they'll make it and it'll impact people that look to them. And it's a snowball. So we find that sons of the prophets were there viewing. And we'll see more about that in the next lesson that they see, especially as they see the whirlwind. But right now they're there and they're just questioning, do you know? Yes, we know. God is doing something here. So just observe. Watch and see what God is doing and how it's going to impact your lives. Watch Elijah. Watch Elisha. You have both of them handle it. Can I tell you, for the older Elijah, what the young prophets need to see is him age gracefully. Aging gracefully. Keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. No better example, again, than Paul over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, his very last writings and his last message here to Timothy. Second Timothy, you know the passage well, I'm sure. Chapter 4, verse 7. And Paul said, and God has written it down for us to learn from it, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Oh, how all of us ought to have a desire for that to be our last words in this physical body. As we pass off the scene of this life, oh, to be able to say, I fought a good fight. Kept my eyes on the Lord. I did whatever He told me to do. I finished my course. I've kept the faith through it all. A lot of struggles. There was a lot of struggles for Paul. But he knew a lot of people were watching. He knew the importance of him passing on this kind of testimony to a young preacher boy named Timothy. Age gracefully. Parents, your children are watching. They'll continue to watch no matter how old they get. They're to always honor you. Give them a testimony worthy of honoring. The best thing you can do for them, give them a testimony worthy of them to honor you. And then Elisha, you're coming on the scene. God wanted you to stay with Elijah. And he has all the sons of the prophets watching. Lead with a dependency upon God. For anybody just starting out, you got responsibilities as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as an officer in the church. Lead with a dependency upon God. Be confident in your faith, but not arrogant. We'll close with 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The elders which are among you, I exhort, I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. To all you that have a position where you can teach and preach and witness, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, the position that you're going to fill, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords. Don't put yourself up as a lord. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensembles to the flock. The most important thing that any leader could ever do is to learn to follow after Christ. The most important, if you have a position over anybody, no matter who it is or what, if you have a position as a born-again believer, follow Christ. Be Christ-like in your dealings with everybody. Amen. It'll make a difference. It'll impact this world for the cause of Christ. If we had more leaders who claimed to be Christians being Christ-like. If we had more pastors who claimed to be God's men who would truly be following Christ, be a servant, an example to the flock. Elijah, go to Jericho. I'll tell Elisha to follow you, and I'll have the sons of the prophet there to observe. Place of doubt is going to be followed by defeat. Place of faith will be followed by a victory. How do you relate? How do you relate tonight? Doubt or faith? Beginning or ending? Your call. If I could, every head bowed, every eye closed. It's our decision. Elisha needed to learn to make his decision. Elijah was not going to tell him what to do. He had to learn to start following God's direction. God told you to stay with me, then you have to determine that you're going to stay with me, no matter what. If you know you're doing God's will, then you have to determine you're going to do God's will, no matter who's there to support you or encourage you or tell you what to do. You just stay focused on your faith and accomplish what you know God would have you to accomplish. Wherever you're at in life, God has a purpose and a plan for how He wants to work through your life. Right now is an invitation time. If God spoke to you and you need to come tonight, we invite you to come. We're not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday nights. But there's always an invitation. Anytime the Word of God is being preached, then we always want to give you an opportunity to respond. If God spoke to you and there's a decision that you need to make, if you need to come to this altar, we invite you to come. Place of doubt, or yet a place of faith. I trust you'll walk out of here with faith leading you to the victories that God wants you to have. Father, as we bow before you this evening, we again thank you for the opportunity in church. Thank you for what you've written down and preserved for us so that we might understand the life of Elijah. Even as we come to the end of his life, there's a powerful messages that we can learn from how you directed him, how you worked through him. I pray that we would have learned this tonight, that we would make a decision, no matter where we're at, is to make a decision by faith, to trust in you, and do whatever it is you'd have us to do. Now be with us as we get ready to dismiss here tonight. Watch over us, get us all home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.